try to buy a baby doll. Worse than that, have you ever went to Walmart and tried to buy a man baby doll? Are you hearing
me? Come on, preacher.
And this is the Apostle Paul tonight. And I'll tell you, I had to do a lot of work on Paul when I got him. Number one, he had blonde hair. That ain't going to work.
Right.
Jews don't have blonde hair.
Correct.
Number two, the clothes he had on was not too good. And had to change that. And had to do a little work, had to help him get a beard. And a lot of those Jews had beards. And so I do a lot of work on Paul. We changed Ken to Paul. Y'all get that later.
Amen.
But anyhow, go to Walmart and try to find a man and baby doll. Now, you're just getting as hard. We live in that crazy generation.
Sure.
Little girls supposed to play with baby dolls.
Right.
Little boys supposed to play with trucks and cars and
right.
digging the dirt and eating dirt. Say amen right
amen.
There.
Amen. Yeah.
But we don't have that generation anymore. All they do now is this.
Yeah.
And I hate it. And I hate it. We've got a generation. I was brought up that way.
Yeah.
And but anyhow, Acts chapter 9, I want you to look at our window tonight. And notice with me in verse number 20. Let's stand together, please. Again, I hope you're praying about your faith promise. We're with it tomorrow night if the pastor wants to.
Yeah.
You that's here and you that serve the word of God, God spoke to your heart. We'll fill out the faith promise card tomorrow night and do what you feel God would do through your life. And I will tell you, you can't beat faith promise.
Amen.
I'm reading Brother Steenick Blue today. If you don't know who that is, you ought to get every book he's got.
Yeah.
Of course, he's in heaven, been in heaven many years now. One of my heroes, Brother Steenick Blue. Back in the 70s, he had a lady that was coming to his church that was legally blind. She wasn't able to do anything much at all. He said, Brother Blue said she started praying that God would give her a job so she could give to missions. Legally blind, and God worked it out where she'd get a job. When she got a job, I think the first year of their mission conference, she started giving $50 a month to missions. The next year, it went to $75 a month. And 2 or 3 years down the road, it was $100 a week. And God used that blind lady, almost blind. And it's amazing. She got hold of the truth of faith promise.
Yeah.
It's Amen. Not what you do, it's what he'll do through you.
Right.
Amen. And I heard somebody preach not long ago, God's able.
Yep.
I think he is able, don't you?
Amen.
Now notice with me in Acts chapter number 9, notice in verse number 20. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. And all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyeth them which call on this name in Jerusalem and come hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? Saul increased some more in strength and confounding the Jews which dwell at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But notice in verse number 24. But their line of wait was known of Saul. And they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by a wall in a basket. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you'll help us tonight. I realize tonight, Lord, again, I'm nothing tonight. I confess that. And I don't have to confess that. Lord, you know that. You know that. And how well I know that tonight. I pray, God, you'll take this unworthy vessel and use it again tonight. I thank you, Lord, for the good week. I have really, really had good liberty to preach here all week long. And I pray you'll help me again tonight and tomorrow night. Lord, I pray you'll do that work that needs to be done. I pray you'll give the pastor, the church, God, the very desires of the heart. I pray, God, that as a result of this meeting, that many souls will be reached around the world for the glory of God. And I pray, speak to our hearts out of the word of God tonight. Help us tonight, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for sitting. You'll be seated tonight. I want to read you one other verse. Notice again in verse 24 or verse 25. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. Let me give you one more verse to go with that. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse 33. The Bible says in verse 33, and through a window and a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped. His hand, talking about the governor, escaped his hand. He said, through a window here, and a basket was I let down by the wall. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight on this thought tonight. Who's going to hold the ropes? We need somebody, thank God, how to get a hold. tonight and hang on to the rope tonight. And who's going to hold the rope tonight? Before I get into my message tonight, let me just say this tonight. When you come to Acts chapter number 9 here, here tonight is one of the greatest missionary planners, church planners that's ever been. How Paul planted churches for approximately 35 years. And somebody said some time ago, how many churches did Paul start? We don't know.
Yeah.
We know the ones in the Bible, but we don't know. And you know why I'm saying that? Because churches today are still being started as a result of the Apostle Paul. And what a tremendous man of God he was. And what a tremendous missionary he was. But when you study about it here tonight, you'll find out that he, when you study about him tonight, he's a tremendous church planner. How that God used him in an unusual way. But I'll say this tonight. Paul wasn't always that kind of man.
Right.
Like you and I tonight, Paul wasn't always that kind of man. When you study about the Apostle Paul here in chapter 9, you'll find several things about him before I preach tonight. First of all, you'll find tonight that he's a condemned man. You say, why do you say that? Because if you go back to chapter 7 and verse 58 there, verse 58 and also verse 59, the Bible said they laid their coat at a young man's feet whose name was, help me,
Saul.
And I'm talking about Paul, Saul. How they were stoning Stephen. How while they're stoning Stephen, they laid their coats at and Paul consented to that. They laid
That's
their
right.
coats out at a young man's feet by the name of Saul. I say to you now, Paul, if you study about it, he was a condemned man.
Right.
Paul never got away from what happened that day. I believe God used that to speak to his heart, and Paul never got away from that. I'll say Paul wasn't only a condemned man in this chapter, but I'll say this tonight. Paul was a cruel man.
Yep.
You say, why do you say that? Because in verse 22, you know what he would do? He'd go to the high priest and get orders from the high priest. If they found anybody in the way that was a Christian, Paul would handcuff him, so to speak, and throw him in jail.
Right.
He was a cruel man. I'll tell you something else about him. Paul was a convicted man. You say, why do you say that? Because in verse 3 and 4 there, there's a light shines from heaven and speaks to his heart, and God gets him under conviction, and he's a convicted man.
Right.
Let me now say this enough. And verse number 6 of this chapter, he's a converted man.
Yeah.
Because he says in verse number 6 he calls on the Lord, and he trembled. I was astonished and said, Lord. He got saved. He's a converted man. And may I say this tonight? In this chapter, he's a changed man.
Amen.
Because when you come to verse 21, but all that heard him were amazed and said, is this not he? How that destroyed them that called on the name of the Lord?
Right.
Listen to me. He's a changed man.
Amen.
They don't understand that. Now, I'll say this also. He's a called man. Because in verse 15, he's called to preach the gospel
right.
to the Gentiles. And chapter number 9, he's a called man. But may I say this tonight, get to my message? He's a controversial man.
Yeah.
You say, why do you say that tonight? Because in the beginning part of this chapter, he put people in jail for preaching. But when you come to verse 20 and following, you'll find him preaching himself.
Amen.
How controversial he listened, and they did not understand that. And may I say this tonight? As a result of that, they wanted to kill him. As a result of that, they wanted to put him to death, put him in jail, and put him to death. He's a controversial man. And part of the chapter, he's persecuting Christians, and now he's being persecuted. That's just how we got himself. And so what happens here, the Bible says here in verse 25, the disciples, they lied in wait.
Right.
The enemy lied in wait, looking at the gate, watching for the Apostle Paul to come through the gate. And when they come through the gate, that's what's going to happen. They're going to kill him. Are you hearing it?
Right.
They're going to kill him. They sure was. So what these disciples do here, they take him by night, and put him in a basket, and let him down by the wall. Let him down by the wall. Listen, well, hear what I'm saying tonight, friend. He was a wanted man.
Right.
And they would have killed him had they got their hands on him.
Sure.
They would have killed him. So I'll talk to you a little bit tonight on this song. Who's going to hold the ropes?
Come on, preacher.
Somebody's going to need to hold the ropes.
Right.
Hey. I said somebody's going to need to hold the ropes tonight.
Right.
So I want to talk to you a little bit about that tonight. First thing I want to say tonight is simply this. Who's in the basket? Who in the world is this guy? Listen, he can't help it. He's been persecuted. He's been beat. You'd be leaving too.
Yeah.
You'd be leaving too. Had you been through what he'd been through. Let me straighten him up a little bit here. how when you study about him tonight, I'll say this tonight. How don't you see, first of all, who's in the basket tonight? When you look up here tonight and see this basket, and see this guy that, boy, I've done a lot of work on him. I worked on him again today. I've got to get my hair clippers out. He ain't looking too. He's looking shaggy. Are you listening? So I want to say tonight, who is this guy in this basket tonight? Think about what I'm saying tonight. The question, who is it in the basket tonight? This is this. He's more than a Jew.
Right.
He's more than Saul. He's more than Paul.
Yeah.
He's more than an apostle. He's more than a preacher. He's more than a writer. He's more than a missionary. You say, preacher, who are the walls in the basket tonight? Let me tell you who's in there. I'll say this tonight. First of all, who's in the basket? I'll say number one, the gospel for you and I.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You say, how in the world did you get that? We're not going to take time to do it tonight. But if you go to Acts chapter 16, you'll find the apostle Paul in verse 6 was getting ready to go to Asia and preach. And guess what the Holy Ghost does? The Holy Ghost forbid him from doing that.
Right.
And he sure did. And listen to what happens in chapter 16, verse 9. Bible said in verse number 9 of chapter 16. And after he seen the vision, talking about the vision of Macedonia, after he seen the vision, immediately he endeavored to go into Macedonia, assured and gathered that the Lord had called him for to preach the gospel unto them.
Right.
And Macedonia, he come to Europe instead of going to Asia. And hear me tonight, that's how you and I got the gospel.
Amen.
Tonight.
That's right.
That's how you and I heard the gospel and got the gospel tonight.
Right.
Hey, instead of him going to Asia, thank God, he's forbidden to the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you, he saw the vision out in the middle of Macedonia. And he said, come over here and help us. And he goes there and helps him. That's how we got the gospel.
Amen.
Tonight.
That's
you
right.
Hear me? You say, preacher, who's in the basket tonight? I'll tell you who's in there. The gospel for you and I.
Yeah.
Now realize that tonight. That's exactly how we got what we got tonight.
That's good. Now
he come to Macedonia, he come to Europe instead of going to Asia, and as a result of that, you and I got the gospel tonight.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
Thank God for that tonight. How the vision that appeared to him tonight when it's been in Macedonia, he said, come over here and help us. And he goes that way because the Spirit of God have bid him to go that way. You say, preacher, who's in the basket? I say this. Not only the gospel for you and I is in the basket, but may I say this real quick tonight? The future church for you and I is in that basket.
Yeah.
Listen to the Bible, verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before who? The Gentiles.
Yep.
And the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. I'll say this and that. The gospel is not only in the basket, but I'll say the future church for you and I is in that basket. He's a chosen vessel how to bring the gospel, thank God,
amen,
to the Gentiles tonight.
That's right.
Don't you listen to me now?
Yeah.
Are you listening to me? He came to his own, Jesus.
Yeah.
And his own received him not.
Yeah.
And may I say this to you now? Hear what I'm getting ready to say. He come to the Jew first. He sure did. And may I say this to you tonight? When they rejected him, they said no to him. And watch this right here. Romans chapter 9, Romans chapter 10, and Romans chapter number 11. How the Jew is set aside. As a matter of fact, God put a blinder on their eyes. God put a blinder on their heart. And as a result of that, the gospel come to you and I.
Amen.
He's an apostle to the Gentiles. He's a preacher to the Gentiles tonight. That's how you and I got the gospel tonight.
Right.
You say, who's in the basket? The future church.
That's right.
Think about it tonight. He's a preacher to the Gentiles tonight.
Amen.
And the future church. Look up here. You know what we are? We're a bunch of people being grafted in.
Yep. Amen.
You know what grafted in is? You know what grafted in the tree is?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My father-in-law was the best in the world at that. He had an apple tree. He must have had 4 or 5 different apples on that tree, different type. How where he grafted in, cut a piece and grafted it in. You know what happened? The Jew was set aside. Romans 9, 10, 11, they're set aside. And you and I were saved by the grace of God. Thank God. He come to us tonight. And we've been grafted in as a church tonight. Oh, yes, sir.
Amen.
And we got something to shout about. Are you hearing that?
That's right.
Who's, preacher, who's in the basket? Well, the gospel's in the basket.
Yep.
For you and I. I'll say number two, the church. For you and I that's in that basket. We've been grafted in. Read the Bible. Then I'll say number three, who's in the basket tonight? I'll say the future scriptures. The future scriptures.
Yep.
For you and I, that's in that basket tonight. The future scripture. Half of you and I, that's in that Bible tonight. Do you know who wrote about half of the New Testament? Yeah, he sure did.
Yep.
Apostle Paul. And may I say this to you now? As a result of that tonight, thank God, you and I got the Bible. Well, I've got a Bible tonight.
Amen.
Oh, hear me tonight. There's somebody in that basket tonight.
Right.
I tell you, it's more than just a Jew. It's more than just a preacher. It's more than just a Gentile. Hey, the future church in that basket. Hey, the gospels in that basket. Thank God, I'll tell you, this future scripture is in that basket.
Amen, tonight. Preacher. That's good.
I'm going to say this to you real quick tonight. Listen to me. We need the whole ropes.
Yeah.
So somebody else can get the scripture.
Yeah.
We need to hold the ropes tonight so somebody else. I'll just say, what in the world has that got to do with missions? Everything.
Yeah.
It's got everything to do with it. And we need to hold the rope for the missionary tonight. Hey, you need to hold the rope for your preacher tonight. Hold the rope tonight, thank God. Let me tell you one more time. If we don't hold the rope, somebody will not have a church. If we don't hold the rope tonight, somebody will not have the scripture. We don't have a whole rope tonight. Hey, somebody will not have the gospel.
Come on,
hey,
preacher.
God, somebody help the rope. And that I can be saved. And pray for the glory of God.
That's good, preacher.
Who's going to hold the ropes? But the second, who's in the basket? Who's in the basket? But the second thing I'm going to say tonight is this. Who really is going to hold them ropes tonight? You ever thought about who's holding them ropes for that man? You ever thought about who it is? Let me tell you this verse again. The Bible said again in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 33. And by night, they led him down by the wall. By the way, you ever thought about this? You ever thought about who's holding them ropes? Bible says, watch this verse right here. Bible says again, look at verse number 20. And straightway, he preached in the synagogue. That's not the verse I want. I'm wanting verse number 24, is it? Yeah, no, it's verse 25. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall on the back. Notice who's holding the ropes. Those disciples are holding the ropes tonight. And by the way, I'll say this real quick. That wall they let him down by is much higher than this right here.
Sure.
Yes.
That might be 8 foot. I don't know if it is or not. It probably is. Probably 8 foot. I don't believe it's 8 foot. But anyhow, think about this tonight. That wall they let him down by is not 8 foot. It's 40 feet. Study it, study it. Are you listening? 40 feet high, and not only 40 feet high, you'll find it was 8 feet thick. And it was a high wall. And Paul looks up and look who he sees. Notice who's holding the rope. The disciples is holding the rope.
Right.
How the disciples is holding the rope. And may I say this tonight? If I were in that basket on a 40-foot wall, I won't go just any Tom, Dick, and Harry holding that rope.
Sure. Amen.
Hope ain't no Tom, Dick, and Harry's in here. But anyhow, are you hearing me tonight? Are you hearing me? You say, who would you want holding the rope? I want, first of all, I want Mr. Faithfulness.
Yeah.
I want to look up and see that man that's faithful.
Yeah.
I want to look up and see that Sunday school teacher is faithful.
Yeah.
I want to look up and see that lay member that's faithful.
Yeah.
And that deacon that's faithful and that preacher that's faithful. Are you hearing me? Oh, hear me tonight. I can see him.
Come on,
as
preacher.
As they begin to go to the side of that wall, hear me tonight. Hey, I want to see Mr. Faithfulness holding that rope.
Yeah.
I tell you who I don't want to see holding that rope. I want to see Mr. Steadfastness.
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't matter how much it's raining. Doesn't matter. Did anybody see the rainbow hall go? Man, wasn't it beautiful?
Yes, it was.
It doesn't matter how much it's raining. I'm talking about Mr. Steadfastness. He's always there. I got a message. I preach a revival about that. And just be steadfast, man. Just stay with the stuff. And I just want to say to you now, I want to look and see Mr. Steadfastness.
Yeah.
I want to look up and see Mr. Consistent.
Yeah.
Hello, I'm preaching to
him. Preach,
I mean,
preacher.
That person is always there. You can count on me, it doesn't matter what happened. Hey, we're always there. But look at verse 25. Bible said in verse number 25, then the disciples. Now, who is that crowd? How would you like being in that basket, getting let down to the wall, and look up and see Thomas? Are y'all with me tonight? I'm sure as they started down, Thomas probably said, them ropes are probably going to break. He's probably going to fall and get killed. This probably ain't going to work.
Come on,
Mr. Thomas. You ever met Mr. Thomas? I pastored him 37 years ago.
Right.
You always got one in the church that's always doubting. Always doubting. Are you hearing me tonight?
Come on, preacher.
And you doubting path you want to. You can believe and shout. That's up to you.
There you go.
I just want to say this to you tonight. Oh, I see him look up and there's Thomas. Holding that rope. Look here. How would you like to look up and see him? Simon Peter holding that rope. Huh? And you know what he's subject to do? Well, he's subject to get in a fight.
Right.
He's subject to get in a fight with Thomas. Now, these all time sickness, those are somebody else's business.
Yeah.
You say, would you get that? Read John 21. You'll see what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Amen.
How's that look up and seen that? Think about it. How's that look up and seen old Judas? Help me, Jesus. Y'all hear me tonight? Yeah. The disciples let him down. And of course, Judas already did it at this point.
Right.
But think about this tonight. Think about I want more Mr. Unfaithfulness over that road.
Right.
Hey, I want more Mr. Inconsistent and Mr. God Robber and Mr. Gossiper. That's not who I want to hold that road.
Come on, preacher.
I want somebody that's going to stand by the stuff and kind of listen up. You know what those men of God need that was here last night? And the missionaries used four days a month, and the men of God sitting over here tonight. You know what they need? They need somebody that's consistent.
Right.
God is changed by the stuff. And
amen.
God wants help. Just stand by the stuff. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
Oh, my. Listen to me now. Who's going to hold them ropes tonight? And can I just say this real quick in preaching tonight? When I think about them ropes, and by the way, don't never stop holding the ropes.
Yeah.
I just come through Ezra today. Read the book of Ezra today. Coming through the Bible the second time this year. I want to get it done before the end of the year. That'll be twice this year. And that Bible will change your life.
Amen.
Are y'all hearing me?
Absolutely.
If you can't sit and read it, sit and listen to it.
Yeah.
Drive down the road and listen to it. And I cut through Ezra today. I love the book of Ezra. But I got over to Nehemiah. I got over about chapter number 6. And chapter 6, I was reading this evening, studying this evening. And guess what happened? They're up on a wall, building a wall, with a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other.
Yep.
And somebody comes down the bottom wall and says, hey! I'm telling you, that's a wonderful thing right there.
Yeah.
Hey! Come on down here. And meet with us in the plain of Oh No. I got a message I preach on, say no to Oh No.
Right.
You better say no to Oh No.
Right.
Oh No means prolong, put it off. Yeah. Put it off. And you know what sound about it? Tobias and Gerson was doing? They trying to get him off the wall. Hey, I'm going to tell you something now. Thank God for folk that just stay on the wall. Hey,
amen.
Thank God for down these beds, this church, home, and just stay by the stove. Hey,
right.
Week after week, that's what gets the job done.
Amen, preacher.
You listen to me?
Just that's
right.
Just
pull the ropes tonight. I want to say this tonight. I'm not sure how many ropes will work. Somebody said there's two. I don't believe that. Somebody said there's one. I don't believe that either. One rope let Paul down. And I know he's a little man by statue. I know that. From the scriptures we know that. But can I say this tonight? I don't believe there's one. I don't think it was two. You say, why? Well, use some common sense. Rope from this end, rope from that end, hit Cotillion either way.
Right.
I really don't think it's three. It still could have tilled some. This is Barker theology. I believe there's four. Are you listening? And I won't argue with you about that. But I thought about them ropes and them ropes themselves. You know, there's four of them. We need God to help us. Missionary needs God to help us.
Sure.
Missionary needs the church to help
us. Yeah.
Church needs a missionary. Missionary needs a good mission board. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
And I just want to say to you tonight, them ropes, and I think about tonight. What's them ropes represent? Look up here at me. I've named each one of these ropes tonight. I'll say, first of all, I believe that first rope tonight could be the rope of purpose. And when I say the rope of purpose, here's what I mean. I'm talking about the rope of purpose for souls.
Yeah.
That one, that first rope represents souls. And what a purpose.
Amen.
And I say to you now, what a purpose tonight. A world that's going to hell. 8 billion people on planet Earth.
Right.
And the most I've ever heard, the true presentation of God. Can I say something about that? When I say a true presentation of the gospel, they've heard a deluded gospel.
Sure. Yep.
And a deluded gospel is worse than not having the gospel at all.
Right.
A religious man's hard to reach than a lost man.
Sure.
And the world, a lot of them, may have a polluted gospel. His grace in this, and grace in this, and grace in this, and grace in this.
Yeah.
I don't believe that tonight. I'm not saved by work salvation, neither are you, whether you believe that or not.
Right.
You're not saved by works tonight.
Amen.
You're saved by the grace of God.
Right.
And it depends on my work to get me to heaven, how good I am and how much good I do. It depends on me to go to heaven, but what I do, I'll go to hell like a bullet. Are you hearing
me? Amen.
It's not grace. Are you hearing me?
Thank God.
It's not grace and water. It's not grace and works.
Right.
You say, don't you believe in doing good? Absolutely. Don't you believe in paying your bills? Absolutely. Don't you believe you ought to be a good witness? Absolutely. But ain't a bit, none of that got anything to do with my salvation.
Amen.
I'm saved by the good grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith.
That's right.
That not of itself is a gift of God. You don't buy a gift, it's a gift.
Right.
I'm saying this to you tonight. Hear me well. It's no, we don't have a deluded gospel. We got a pure gospel tonight.
Amen, preacher.
Amen. Majority of denominations in this world is preaching a deluded gospel.
Sure.
Are you listening? You said, preacher, sound me like you believe in eternal security. Are there any other kind?
Come on, preacher.
Do you believe John 3:16?
Come on, preacher.
Do y'all believe John 3:16?
Absolutely.
I know what's in this earth.
Yeah.
I've never in my life seen any holiness churches, the Church of God churches, living in my life.
Amen.
And free wills. I know a lot of the free wills while I'm a good people. And I'm telling you, I'm not saved by my good works tonight.
Right. Amen.
I'm saved by, it's not a deluded gospel. It's a pure gospel.
That's right,
preacher. And when Jesus said it's finished, it's finished, thank God.
That's right.
And we've got to put faith in it.
Amen.
So I'm going to say this tonight. The majority of the world has never had the gospel. Now I'll say we need to hold the rope of purpose.
Yeah.
That rope of purpose simply talks about souls tonight.
Yeah.
Souls tonight. I think I probably said this Sunday, and I'll say it again real quick. How do you put value on a human soul?
Yeah. Mm.
The day you was conceived in your mother's womb, you became a living soul.
That's right.
And that soul will live forever and forever and forever and forever.
Amen.
We got people running in offices and high places in North Carolina and this country don't believe what I just said.
Yep, that's right.
Are you hearing me? I'm telling you, friend, that night begins at
conception. You're right, preacher.
And the Bible bears that out. And I'm saying, how do you put value on the soul? That soul's going to live forever and forever and forever and forever. I've got a real good friend, he and his wife. They've lost 9 babies before they was born. And, in the pregnancy, early in the pregnancy, she's had 9 miscarriages. She was pregnant. They even heard a heartbeat. But they didn't make it to 6-7 months. And you know what? Every one of them is in heaven tonight.
Amen. Absolutely.
Yes, sir. You're not a soul when you're born. That's dumb as a stick. We know better than that.
Amen.
Are you hearing me preach tonight? So I'm saying that first rope tonight simply represents souls tonight.
Right.
The rope of purpose. Then that second rope tonight, I thought about this. We need to hold the rope of purpose tonight, which is soul. But then number two, we need to hold that number two rope. I'm calling that the rope of prayer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Your money can put the missionary on the field, but it takes your prayers to keep him on the field.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
You know, I'm going to tell you the greatest thing you do for this man of God sitting back here tonight. I believe y'all love him. I believe y'all take care of him. I believe every bit of that. Give him $200,000 a year. Are y'all giving him that now? $250,000 a year? And you doubt that? If he'll do that, do that. I never wrote no salary like that in that type. But here's what I'm saying. Now, the greatest thing you'll ever do, other than $200,000, would be awesome. But here's something a whole lot more awesome to do $1,000. That's prayer.
Yeah. Amen, preacher.
The greatest thing you do for your pastor now is hold him and his wife up to God in prayer.
Absolutely.
Hear me tonight.
Amen.
Hear me. Hold the rope of prayer. Hold the man of God up to prayer tonight. Hear me. Well, listen, I probably only said it this week. Pastors are facing things now they've never faced.
Sure.
The stress and the pressure and the problem that's going on in our churches today.
Yeah.
Hey, pray for you, man of God. Hey, be an Aaron tonight and be a herd. And get on each side, down on each side of Moses and held his hands up. And boy, he held his hands up. Israel prevail. And you want down East Baptist Church to prevail.
Come on, preacher.
And see folks get saved. Hold the man of God's hands up to God. Hear me tonight. The
that's
rope
good,
of
preacher.
Prayer tonight. And there's amen. The third rope. No, the rope of purpose. The rope of prayer. But then there's, for that missionary, there's that rope of provision. Got to have provisions. Are you listening?
Sure.
Somebody said, you said, preacher, salvation's free. You just got done saying that. Well, water's free, but it costs to get it piped to the house.
Right. Amen.
Are you listening to me? I'll say to you, now salvation is free. And I'll say this now, it costs to get it to the field.
Yes,
and
it
I'll
does.
Tell you, it costs to get the gospel of the rope of provision tonight. Now, I want to preach every time I've come down here. I want to preach out Philippians 4. Don't look like I'm going to get to do that yet. I love Philippians chapter 4. That is a mission letter from a missionary to a church.
Yeah.
And that missionary is thanking that church for what they've done.
Yeah.
And may I say this to you tonight? At the rope of provision. And God told the church of Philippi, he said, God will take care of you. God's going to supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know why he said that? He said that because that church took care of him.
Yep.
That church was part of those Macedonian churches
right.
I preached about last night. Hear me tonight. The rope of provision. Hey, get the rope of prayer. Hey, get the rope of purpose. Get the rope of provision tonight.
That's good preaching.
I'm going to title that number 4 rope, the rope of possibility.
Mm.
The rope of possibility. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, so many places in this world don't have a fundamental church.
Yep.
But it's possible.
It is.
But it's possible. But it's possible.
That's good.
I really was surprised what Brother Blue said last night about Idaho. I spent time in Idaho as a missionary there, and when I was North American director, I wasn't aware of that many good fundamental churches in that state.
Yeah.
Maybe they got some since I left Macedonia. But I'll tell you, there's state after state, county after county out there. Doesn't have any. That's just the United States.
Yeah.
That's 195 countries in the world. Y'all hear me tonight?
Amen.
And there's 8 billion people on planet Earth tonight.
Yeah.
And I just want to say this tonight. The possibility. The rope of possibility tonight. Oh, the rope of possibility. Hear me well tonight. Yeah, that's what we need tonight. Hold the rope. Hold the rope.
Amen.
I'll say this, I'm done. What's going to happen? What would happen if we quit holding the rope? What would happen tonight if Down East Baptist Church quit holding the rope tonight? What would happen tonight if Down East Baptist Church quit giving the missions tonight? Really, what would happen? Think about it tonight. I'm going to tell you something about you, super preacher. It won't affect nobody. Oh, you're wrong about that. When you quit holding the ropes, guess what happens?
Yes.
You know what happens? Hey, some serious things happen when you quit holding the ropes. And let me just show you what will happen. Who in the world time is right? When you quit holding the ropes, don't you notice what will happen tonight? Things always happen when you quit holding the ropes. Notice this tonight. When you quit holding the ropes, guess what happens? Things begin to tilt.
Yeah.
Things begin to fall. Things begin to tilt. You know what? There'll be no rope of purpose when you quit holding the ropes.
Right.
Hey, listen, there'll be no rope of prayer when you quit holding the ropes. There'll be no rope of possibility when you quit holding the ropes. And I just want to say to you now, don't quit holding the ropes tonight. The rope of prayer, the rope of possibility. I want to ask you a quick question now. Who's going to hold the ropes tonight?
Come on.
There's a lot of missionaries. That board out there depending on this church tonight.
Yep. Amen.
There's a man of God sitting right over here depending on this church tonight. I'll tell you, when we quit holding the ropes, oh my soul, what a sad situation. I've seen that happen. I've seen churches quit. I've seen churches drop missionaries. And I won't tell you, I've seen them things go to nothing.
Yep.
I've seen them die. I've seen them shut their doors.
Yep.
I won't tell you, the very heartbeat, the very heart throb of God is missions tonight.
Amen.
I won't tell you, if you want the blessing of God and the benediction of God and the power of God, and come up here, brother. Come up here real quick. Come up here. The blessings of God. Untie this rope for me. Come on back here. Untie that rope. This is Wilkes County, man. He's a leader in North Carolina. I know where that's at. Hey, listen now. When you quit hauling ropes, it will affect somebody.
Yeah.
And by the way, I got a real good friend that's messed up. He's left his church. He's quit serving God. He's a youth director. He was over several positions in the church. And recently, he just threw it all in, just quit. And can I tell you something tonight? You affect more people than yourself when you quit.
That's right.
Yeah.
Are you listening?
That's right.
I met with this guy the other day, and I told him, I said, listen, man. I said, you're affecting a lot of people. A lot of young people looked up to you. A lot of young people watched you. And may I say this to you as a church tonight? A lot of missionaries watching y'all tonight.
Yeah.
Missionaries got their eyes on you tonight. How about it, Mr. Pleader? Okay, here we go. Are you listening? I won't say that, but we'll quit holding the rope. Guess what happens? Are you hearing me tonight? My soul, don't never, ever, 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 ever let that be said about you tonight. You'll say, preacher, I can't afford to get involved. Listen, you can't afford not to get involved.
Amen.
There's a world going to hell tonight. You can't afford not to get involved tonight.
Right.
I will say to you tonight, and I know this is down the earth, very, very simple tonight. Hold the rope.
Yeah.
Hold the rope tonight.
Praise
God's
preacher.
Depending on you. Hey, hold the rocks tonight.
Amen, preacher.
I love reading stories about missionaries. William Carey, missionary to India for many, many, many years. William Carey, when you study about him, he was born in 1761. He died in 1834, 73 years old. Went to India, saved at 17 years old, and went to India as a missionary. Get this. He preached 7 years in India before he ever had one convert.
Yeah.
I quit. He preached 7 years before he ever had a missionary. Missionary William Carey said this to the Andrew Fuller, which was the guy that was on the mission board in the 1700s that he's with. He told him this right here. William Carey told the man at the mission board this. He said, I'll go down in the pit if you will hold the rope. Y'all get what I just said?
Mm.
He said, I'll go down in the pit if you will hold the rope. Hey, down east, listen to me. All God wants you to do tonight is obey Him. Hold the rope tonight.
Yeah.
Hold the rope tonight. I wonder tonight, in closing tonight, I wonder this. I wonder who'd be in this room tonight. Get up out of your seat. Come up here. Get one of these pieces, this rope. When I get time, I'm going to write the commissioners of Wilson, North Carolina, and they'll then put a hardware store in this town. I can't find them. My GPS lie. I'm talking about an old-fashioned hardware store. Did my GPS say that?
Probably
old
not.
Old-time hardware store. I'd go to Walmart with the boys. I wonder how many in this room tonight. Seriously. We get up, don't throw it away. That we get up in this room tonight and walk up here to me. Get this rope.